Okay.
He heard you were teaching and he left.
Oh, yeah.
And his class is called Coordinates to Live By. It's a discussion class that explores how wisdom, the brevity of life, joy, courage, and compassion can instruct our lives.
That sounds good.
And, my mind just went blank. Eddie Trevathan is going to teach a class on James and Jude, the brothers of Jesus in the Jerusalem church.
Wow.
And then Dwayne Simmons is going to teach a class, and I had missed him for the last two. He was talking, it's an Old Testament book, but he was still holding out as to which one, so I just think it was going to be Job, maybe.
Wow.
So when do you go get back to the action?
I don't keep asking. I think spring.
All right. Well,
yeah, he's got to be 30 chapter bachelor.
Wow.
We need another couple of years to get through.
I was going to say, we need the first chapter yet.
All right. We had, from the survey we did 3 months ago, there were several questions we hadn't gone through. But I first wanted to open it up, like if you had any questions about some of the stuff we went through, like something that Mark taught, something Jeff taught, something Ron taught, something Don taught, I taught. Feel free to ask the question. It's going to be very discussion-based today. And
I did want to mention 2 weeks ago they asked me to get together some websites.
Yeah.
Different things concerning pornography and all that. And I'm working on that.
Okay.
I haven't forgotten it.
And I've got a bunch of stuff here. Some research I did a year ago. A lot of things changed. But some of it is just some, what they call cyber nannies. Is that what they call them?
Cyber nannies.
Cyber sitter.
Cyber sitter.
That's one of the that's an actual software thing.
These are all different kinds of, a list of a bunch of kinds of software. It's Christian ISPs, Internet Service Providers. That's what they're, so I have a whole list here. If you want me to send you a copy of all of these, let me know after class and I can send it to you.
Those are actually, would take the place of AOL?
Yes, they
have those, and they also have software that you can just, like filters.
Filters.
That you can use with AOL, whatever you're using.
And there's one that I was reading last night that said, don't get Cyber Patrol. Let me read you why. We do not recommend Cyber Patrol. Cyber Patrol filters Christian organizations like the American Family Association on the grounds of, intolerance, because AFA teaches that homosexual acts are immoral. There was a time when Cyber Patrol blocked out homosexual-related sites, but the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation complained about the company's discriminatory policy. Cyber Patrol not only changed its policies, the company installed a representative from that organization on its oversight committee. So that's Cyber Patrol.
Cyber sensor.
So if you want a copy, I can put your name on the top of this, and I'll send it to you. There's one thing, and there's a whole lot with the internet. I'll just talk about it now. With if you have children, you must, as a dad, and I'll say it, you must be proactive with dealing with your kids if you have internet in your home. There's just no way around it. First, for their own safety. I've got an interesting story here that I won't read to. It's a four-pager, and it's fascinating. And just how, when the teens, they get online, they'll chat, and they'll chat with people they don't know. And here's a story of a girl who was chatting with a teenager, she thought, who lived, several hundred miles away. And so what she did is she would tell him different things about herself, and things like the high school she went to, what position she played. And so this guy, who was a policeman, and his job was to try to really inform people that you shouldn't be giving out this information. And he ended up following her home, knocking on the door, talking to parents, and told them the whole story of what was going on, where he had been chatting with her. She was called Angel 1213. He was called Go to 123. And it's just a fascinating story. If you'd like a copy of this, if you're a dad and you don't understand some of this, it'd be good to get this and to read this also. In fact, I got an extra copy of this one if you want to take this one home with you. Just, again, as a dad, you must be proactive with your children when it comes to the internet. And one thing, when the I know with teens get on and start chatting, a lot of times they will get sexual in talking with others, and the type of thing that they wouldn't say to them up front, and it becomes very enticing sexually. And so there's just, you know, if your kids are chatting online, you need to be there, and you need to know what's going on. And you need to just tell your kids, you're going to keep up with what they do online. And I don't think you should apologize for it, because it can be pretty dangerous. And just letting them know that you're going to keep track of some of the sites they go to. And I think you should just let them know that, as a parent, you have a right to get on and see what sites they go to. And does anybody here, I can't explain it. Can anybody explain how to get on to the history of what people get on? Anybody here?
It's just a button. Look for history.
Look for history. Okay. So explain it.
There's a history icon. It'll say what you visited today, 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago.
You have to set
itself after a couple weeks.
In the
preferences.
The preferences, you can set it, like, you know, like maybe just every 30 days or something, wherever you erase it out. Mm-hmm. A while so we can look at it.
So does everybody understand that?
If you've got in the preferences, you look up your preferences, and it'll give you a choice of how long you want history to be maintained as to where you've been, where your internet's been.
Oh, I see.
And you can set it for a day, I think, or you can set it for 60 days or something. So just, if you're going to check it every 2 weeks, have it at least out for 2 weeks, so you can check every place it's been.
Yeah. Chad?
Once they figure out how to delete the history, after you're not using it, you're
out of
luck.
And the thing you can do about that is if you see that it's been deleted, they just take away their privileges.
Yeah.
I was going to say, another option is there are monitoring programs that monitor keystrokes that are done, you know, log into the text file. So you can search the file and look for words that you would deem as inappropriate for teenagers.
Tell us a little bit about the monitoring programs. I don't know those.
I don't know a lot of the names of them. I know they exist. I know they use them at work. A lot of them are freeware, things you can download off of. Sites. Just monitor your keystrokes and write to the text file.
Would anybody be interested in getting more information on that? I know I would.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you, if you want that, somebody write up a list of different things. And afterwards, if you want a list of these things, Chad, could you get some of that information for us? So now, if anybody else want to volunteer any more information, we'll put you to work.
Yeah, I got another question.
I'm done.
Go ahead.
Is anybody using a provider that they really like? Like, I've heard of CleanNet, I've heard of Screen Door, but I don't know if anybody's really happy with any of them. That's probably on your list.
I'm probably going to get a filter. I'm not going to use another provider. I'm going to get a filter.
Mm-hmm. What kind of filter are you thinking
of? Well, I don't know. I forget the name of it now. The one that thought was the best. It was recommended by a Christian site. I can't remember the name of it now. That's what.
Where did
but,
I?
We tried this a year or two ago. I can't remember the name of it, but the problem was it wouldn't let you on anything that it didn't know about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if the kids are doing research on Henry Clay, you know, for a school paper, then this filter doesn't know Henry Clay and thinks it may be, you know, some inappropriate.
They didn't mention any problems with it. Yeah. It was like a third party's sex. They didn't mention that.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Well, it doesn't sound like anybody's using any other providers.
We have just, on our cable, we have this PAX, P-A-X, which is, I mean, it's pretty wholesome family entertainment, that particular cable channel, and they have they also offer internet service, which we just got in the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, I think we're probably going to get rid of CompuServe and go to this, and I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, let us know.
You know, I don't know whether it does any what you said, which is, you know, doesn't let you do science or, you know, or social studies or history research. we haven't gotten that far yet. But it is a family Christian-based kind of internet service provider. We just got it. I don't know if it's any good or not.
PAX.
PAX.
The network.
Yeah.
I used to not want to change my address and get another, but now I'm thinking, that'd be nice to change my address to get all these emails. Okay, yeah, let us know how that PAX goes. Mm-hmm. And okay. Anything else on that? Let me just, as we're talking about the internet, you know, your kids want to go to a movie. Let me recommend you again as a dad to be proactive as far as what you allow your kids to go see. And there's a site out there called ScreenIt, ScreenIt.com. Or .org, .com, I think. Screen It, whatever the last ones are. And anytime our kids want to go to a movie, we'll get on there. Or anytime, and this brings up another one, we want to go to a movie. Usually Susan will get on and just check out. It tells you what words are in there, any kind of sexual stuff. And it's almost like, Susan and I went and saw a movie the other day. I have no idea what the movie was. I have no idea, but I would have seen it and said there was nothing sexual about it. And Susan said on screen that there were a couple sexual parts where they just mentioned the word sex and they'll call it sexual. And it lets you know a whole lot about that movie. And as a dad, you need to be aware of the movies your kids see. And you need to... You need to be setting some guidelines for your kids.
Is that a focus on the family side, or who provides
it? Screen it. I don't know. So monitoring words, you know, monitoring and filtering, you know, these are all things, you know, looking at the internet, you know, that things that we have to do that our dads didn't have to do because it wasn't around then. And let me encourage you to do that. Also,
there's another good movie screen site on this FamilyStyle.com.
FamilyStyle.com. Yeah. Okay. Which one?
Metro Voice newspaper.
Okay, Metro Voice. Okay. Okay. And also, talking about the history, I think it'd be a wise thing for you to get with your wife and show her how to do it so she can check up on you. I think that's something that would be a wise accountability system that you could have there. Okay, with this last class, the one thing I wanted to say was, as a dad, as a husband, as just a Christian, Jesus needs to be Lord. And it needs to come out in the way we demonstrate our leadership in our family, with our wife. And there are so many different issues, and pretty much all the issues we dealt with kind of come back to, let Jesus be Lord, and let Him rule your life. Let Him rule the decisions that you make. And, you know, when it comes to money, you know, when it comes to balancing our job, things like that. And so that's the bottom line. And it takes us not being passive, but we have to be aggressive in doing this. You know, if we just become passive males, then Satan's going to see that, and he's going to come in and kind of infiltrate the different decisions we make about our family and things like that. So that's kind of the bottom line, you know, with all the things that we talk about is letting Him be Lord of our life. And that lordship should affect the different decisions we make about ourselves, about how we treat our wives, different decisions we make about our families. So that's kind of the bottom line with everything we've talked about. Any other questions? I got some questions here that were not addressed from the survey somewhere.
Steve, do you, in the teen classes, when you're teaching the teens, is there a way, or have you gotten a message across to them that they should come to their parents and ask them to be accountable, to say, hey, here's my password, here's what I'm doing, you know, we want to be accountable? I know we talked about that in the men's class.
Yeah.
Is that?
I discussed that. Oh, it was about 18 months ago, and had a guy come in, and we were specifically talking about the internet, and he shared the struggles he had on the internet, how he lost his job. It was a pretty convicting class. That was 18 months ago. And any time I would have an opportunity to talk about it, I would talk to him very strongly about you need to, you know, be very careful with what you do on the internet.
Because I don't think most teenagers want you necessarily, they don't want you sitting there while they're instant messaging, talking mm-hmm. to his friends. They don't
yeah.
want you necessarily knowing their password. They don't necessarily want you going into their, you know, websites.
Yeah.
It's not the natural thing for them to want you to do.
Yeah. I don't address it as hard as I have here, because I think, you know, I will tell them I think that your parents should, but and that's something that's between the parent and son, daughter, I think that's something that they really need to do. So that's, you know, that's my opinion, and I'll let them know this is what I think ought to happen, but when it comes down to it happening, I think that's something that the parents need to initiate with them. Tim? I think yours was a great witness to me, Jim, just the way you sat down with your boys and told them the struggle that you had. You told us, shared that with us the day after. How's it been the last 2 weeks? Has any other conversation come up that...
Not really.
Yeah.
To be totally honest, it was... I think there's an awareness, so... Mm-hmm. But I can't picture them the last couple of weeks taking much time. Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
okay. Eddie?
I hope to keep it up.
Yeah,
definitely.
This sort of relates to the internet pornography temptation discussion, but I'm sort of thinking a little beyond that part of what Tim's saying. The thrust that I've tried to have with my boys, and it seems like just as I get through to one of them, then the other one pops up and I'm starting all over again. So I'm like, now,
yeah.
I was almost feeling really good and now I'm starting again.
But, yeah.
So give me a few more years, I'll have done it three times. But the problem that I have is I feel this need to explain to my kid, and rather than just tell them that this is bad, this is evil, don't do it, which I tell them, I have this desire to explain to them the power that sex has for good in marital relationships, the power that sex has for destruction and evil in their lives and their relationship. And this is this kind of, I get this look when I first start talking to them about it, that like they don't believe me. This
yeah.
can't possibly be as big a deal as you say it is. So how do you explain to kids who don't have the background experience, fortunately, to understand that, to bring them to that point? Because, I mean, it seems to me that the protection of our relationships, present and future, and our desire to be holy should be the reasons to avoid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a stronger motive. Saying no. But getting that message across, and I guess I'm bringing it apart because I know and I hope you're reinforcing this in your work. How do people try to get that through to kids? I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, how do you really communicate to them that this is very important, this is critical?
And I bring this up in the context of not just, and I say this also for fathers and daughters, our culture does not obviously place constraints on the way girls initiate relationships with boys. And, you know, I'm trying to imagine how I would have behaved I've had girls, you know, beating on my door, wanting to come to my house and sit with me in provocative poses, you know, rather than sitting at home waiting for me to call.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's exactly what's going on. I mean, you know, we have last night a girl from a very nice family, very nice kid in our neighborhood. You know, just sort of self-invited her. So she just showed up at our house and was down in the basement watching movies with our boys and playing video games and, you know, sitting on the couch with them and giving massages. And, you know, they're just, it's all very innocent. And then Linda goes down there and sees this and says, okay, you know, this is too close. And they say, well, we're just friends, you know, we're not dating or anything. So it's okay. We have this problem in our society where there isn't this
boundary yeah.
that we all, or at least I grew up with. So it's almost like we have to start from a different place and have this conversation. How are people dealing with this?
You know, the irony of that, Eddie, is I just heard yesterday on the same line that these kids never develop good relationships. That there's a real irony to that they're not developing friendships or it's always a superficial kind of, you know, sexual innuendo. The whole thing, like you said, there's a whole result out of all that about why that's even bad. You know, because they're not true friendships. They're not relationships. So, you know, kind of just parallels.
Well,
it's really a lifelong
thing. I don't think the girls, I mean, the notion that girls are not supposed to call boys just to be.
Yeah.
Just
that's a rule that we have that's
rule,
now no longer a rule.
I bet we get 10 calls from girls a day on an average day.
Mm-hmm.
On weekends, more. I mean, and it's overwhelming, I think, for at least the boy and perhaps the girls without the restraints, too. When you throw that into the mixture,
mm-hmm.
I think it makes it even more complicated. So we're trying to set boundaries for our kids that exist only in their minds, but not in the world that they live in, even given the fact the world they live in are their kids predominantly from, quote, good and, quote, families that are
mm-hmm.
thinking more like we do than a lot of families. So, I mean, how are people setting up these boundaries and sort of playing these things?
Yeah. So you guys understand the question he's asking?
Where you start, other
how
than
do you
saying no and checking on the internet sites.
Yeah. Yeah, with the culture we have today with more equality, I guess, with the guys and the girls. When girls can come over, they can call, they're more initiators. How do you set up the parameters for your family? Is that kind of what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Part of it is catching them, like Linda did, and not maybe addressing them now, but when you got them one-on-one and say, look, here's some problems that can develop here. I remember when Brooke was dating the guy she's getting married now. They were over at the house, and they were laying on the couch together. We were all watching TV, but she was laying, like, between his legs. And so I waited till he was gone, and I said, I know you guys aren't doing anything. I know you're not thinking about anything, but I need you to know how guys think. Okay, and what they feel when you get in a position like that. Yeah. And I explained to her about arousal, how guys' bodies react, and it was not an easy conversation for me to have, but it was one she accepted totally. So I think Tim's point is right. I mean, as dads, you got to take advantage of those opportunities, teaching moments when you see them and talk about this stuff that's hard to talk about. So that was one I did right. There's lots I didn't do right. Okay, I missed moments to teach, but I was surprised at how receptive Brooke was to what I was saying. Because I don't think girls, they just seem more naive about that with young girls.
Yeah. And you put her in a position where she didn't have to be defensive the way you approached it. That was good.
I think in a sense, part of it involves, I mean, like thinking of what Roger says and things that I see in children, and I'm sure Ed sees a lot. You know, I mean, in children, we see a lot of teenage girls who are pregnant, fatherless. And a lot of them, you know, they don't set out to become pregnant teens. They're looking for love. A source of self-esteem, and I think it's so important for fathers, Christian fathers, to spend time and give their daughters take that seriously as a role that that's just not someone else's kid, that in a sense that's also your kid because of how they come into your home, they see God in you, and they're going to get a sense of life based on what they see in you.
Mm-hmm.
And they need that because they're not going to get it elsewhere.
You know, Eddie, I struggle with the same thing of where do you start, and I will tell you that, like with like Blake and I, it has been when situations have come up, you know, and it's either me noticing something or Marion saying something, and then I just have to sometimes just barge in, even when Blake's not in a talkative mood, or, you know, but it's usually when I see something happening, and I don't know how you get ahead of the curve. That's the difficult thing. How do you get ahead of the curve, you know, or do you just... Do you see something and address it? And so far, you know, Blake's been pretty good, even though, you know, he's at that point where, you know, he doesn't want his parents telling him things. But he's been pretty good. Now, with Matt, on the other hand, who's only in eighth grade, I don't think he's experienced some of that. So he's like, Dad, that is so stupid. Don't talk to me about that. Whereas I think Blake has had those. Blake's been tempted. And so he's receptive because he can see that, you know, he could. You know, I think he's mature enough to realize that could be a problem. But, like, well, this whole thing with changing our internet, you know, I told Matt we were going to do that, and he got really aggravated. That's an understatement. He was more than aggravated because he was going to have to change all his friends. He was going to have to get the new, that's what he was worried about, was communicating to all his friends that he had a new email address. And I couldn't impress upon him, you know, the danger, because he's like, Dad, that's so stupid. Why would I do that? You know, and I'm thinking, well, I'm glad, Matt, but, you know, we're going to do that. And then he's like, whereas Blake was fairly receptive to it, and he said, that's you and Mom wanting to do that. You know, Blake and I don't want to do that, so we'll talk to your brother. I think he, and then that kind of shut him up because he didn't realize, you know. So I don't know, but I don't know how you get ahead of the curve, because to talk to Matt about that, he was just like, he was more worried about he couldn't instant message with all his friends now because they didn't have they weren't going to have his new email address. So, you know, I don't know how you get ahead of the curve, but I think you certainly are eyes wide open to situations that are those teachable moments.
And maybe trying to get ahead of the curve is too high expectations. Maybe just have to hit them when they come up, and just address them when they come up.
When you get down to it, it's kind of like the faith that we hope our children will have. It's kind of the same thing. You're giving them what you can, when you can, the right moments, the wrong moments, and you're hoping that they're going to put it together themselves, but we can't live their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think the answer to your question is you ain't going to do it. We have faith that hopefully they're going to grab a hold of a lot of things that they hear from us. And
hopefully the training up until they get to that point.
Yeah. And sometimes they're going to fall just like we have.
I think it's hard. I think the man in the family is generally always supposed to set the boundaries. And we've advocated a lot of that responsibility in our families. And it's hard to do, especially as the kids get older, because they react more violently, or you don't have as much control over them, you know, as when they're 8, 9, or 10 years old. It's not a big deal. But I think you still can never give that responsibility up, you know, no matter what. Because what are you going to do? You know, if you don't set the boundary, then things will happen. You know, you have no choice, really. And I struggle with that. I mean, because it's always hard. You think, well, your child doesn't like you, or, they're angry, or, you know, they're going to rebel and go the other way, or whatever. Well, they're going to go the other way no matter what if you don't, you know, try to set some boundaries. And, you know, I've seen Christian parents, you know, this girl thing calling, they'll talk with pride how their son got a call from a girl who's, you know, he's 12 years old. You know, I mean, what's that all about, you know? So it's just a general watering down of the Christian family as well. But I think as parents, and this comes back to the actual foundation is the dad has to set the boundaries. And we're not going to step in and do it. Nobody else will, because the mom really can't. The mom's supposed to fill in. She's the filler. She gives the substance inside. And the dad has to do it in a loving way. But ultimately, we set the boundaries for our whole family. And it's hard. I mean, you know, it's like, I know what Eddie's talking about. You know, been there, done that. And Mark, I mean, it's, you know, you want to tell them right then and there, you know, hey, get up off that sofa, get, you know, you do this and you do that. You know, you got to wait for your spots and you got to do it with love. But a lot of times we don't do it. You know, we've all been guilty of that. And, you know, that's wrong. You know, that's just plain wrong. So, you know, that's the only way, I don't know if you get ahead of the curve, but that's the only way you stay in the game, I guess, is the way you put it. You better stay on the playing field at least and not be on the bench.
Mm-hmm. So, do you guys have any guidelines you have for your kids as far as interaction with the male and female? I guess my, Susan and I had this come up really for the first time about 3 weeks ago. It ended up not happening because Adam didn't know that we had a family thing planned, but it got us to be able to think about what our guiding principles are going to be for the next couple of years with Adam. Anybody have any guiding principles? That,
like which, house rules? Or?
Well, you know, Susan's rule was she couldn't date till she was 16. Yeah. So do you have any kind of rules like that?
I think those rules are, this is now getting back to the change in our culture, our society, but the definition of dating is, if there's a parent that can explain it to me,
they're going out.
You know, I would love to hear it. I mean, just as an example, Scott, our college son, officially hasn't dated this girl from Iowa, but yet they're together every waking moment, and she calls 3 times a day when he's home, and he's going to her house for 3 days during the Christmas break. But according to him, they haven't dated, but they're very serious about each other. Now, how is this possible? Because neither one of them have a car at Pepperdine, so their definition of date is that they haven't been in a car and gone off campus together. So, I mean, if this is the kind of thing I see with my middle son, too. I mean, I think I don't even use the word date anymore in talking to my kids because boys and girls can be together and have relationships on some level without ever officially having a date. And that seems normal. I mean, maybe some of the younger guys in the room can explain this. The notion that people call and they set up a time and then they go somewhere and that's the only way they interact and is not the case. So I get what I find confusing too is when there's a group of two boys and three girls that come to my house and then all 6 of them go somewhere. You know, I sometimes will sort of say, okay, so who's with who before they leave, which annoys them. And then you find out that out of that 6, there are only 2 kids that are actually
going together.
Yeah. And the other 4 are just sort of hanging out with them. But you'd never know if you didn't ask.
Terrell probably has all the answers.
But this is another area of confusion for me. We just talked about relationships. We didn't talk about dating anymore.
Well, you know, I guess, Steve, you were asking about rules. I don't know that this is, and this has kind of been our rule, I guess. And it's kind of unwritten, but, you know, at some point, before they're 16, and I don't know why 16 is a magic age, but sometime at before they're 16, there has to be more than just, I mean, let's, you know, like just the 2. I mean, if 4 of them want to go or 6 of them want to go, even if they are all 6 kind of together, that's not necessarily a definition of a date, I don't think, Eddie, but for somehow we've just kind of said, until they get to be 16, they can't go someplace with just one person. Mm-hmm. Again, the strength in numbers, I think, has a tendency to, I think, will help, you know, and just the appropriateness of, and then it looks a lot less like a date.
Yeah, that's kind of what Susan and I decided, except for at this age, I'm being 14, we decided it needs to be 6 or more going on out as a group.
And with my youngest son, 6 is a small number. He would just assume it's 20.
Yeah. And, you know, statistics show, research has shown that if a person starts dating, whatever that means, the earlier they date, the more involved sexually they'll be before marriage. Right. It's kind of a goes hand in hand, according to research.
I think
Okay, let's pause. We have a man who's had three children. He's raised all three. Two are married, and one's about to get married. Got engaged. He's about to speak.
Well, you know, I've always said, of course, that I'm not sure I would ever teach a class on raising children after all that I went through in mind. But, there is one thing in talking to kids, and this is more of a general principle, but I think it applies everywhere. And I did it in some areas. Unfortunately, I didn't do it as well in this area as I should have. But that is, I think when you sit down and talk to them, one of the key things to do is open up the Word. One of the few things I did right, and I think there were very few many times in raising kids, is one time when Orion had gotten into a fight with a kid at school. And so, and he was, of course, he came home and he was just mad and frustrated, and they'd both gotten in school suspension or something, and he was just kind of angry. And we sat down, and I didn't just, lecture him on fighting. Think about why Jesus might have said love your enemies. I mean, you come home every night to parents who love you and care for you, and you know you've got a comfortable place to stay. And I said some kids don't have anybody to come home to that they love and care for them. Some kids are just, desperate for attention. I don't know if it's this kid's problem or not, but think about the idea that you need to pray for your enemies. Sat down there and said, well, if Jesus said do that, why don't we have a prayer for this kid? And I think two things happen. One, it sort of takes you out of the role of they're having to give in to you when they change their thinking, because you're really just showing them what the Bible says. It's not you versus them. It's, I just want to show you what God said. Let's think about this. And that makes it a little less confrontational. And it also sort of sends a message to them that, when you run into a problem in life where you need to go to find the answer. Mm-hmm.
Good. Great. Very good. One last thing that was brought up several times in the survey is, how do you deal and balance family, church, and sports? That's a big issue, I think, because we've become such a sports fanatic society. And in Little League sports today, it is absolutely crazy. We're warped in this society with the way we do Little League. I was talking with a guy the other day who's a Little League manager, and he said his son plays about 100 games a year. I wanted to slap him and say, what are you doing? And we do that, we can't just get out and play Little League sports now. We have to go do training, get specialized coaching. It's, my opinion, is crazy. And I'm pretty involved in sports. And from my own background, sports, I look at sports, and God really used that to save me. Save me from my society, the kids that I hung out with. And when I really changed and decided I was going to follow God, when I got home, I would stay at school. Afterwards, I was always involved in sport. I'd come home, and the sports really kept me from my drug buddies and all of that kind of stuff. So it saved me. But I can see today we're losing because of sports. And as something that I learned from Dusty Rush, what his dad said was, you can be involved, if you're involved in school, church, plus one. And that's kind of what Susan and I have adopted. Church and school, those are the most important things. We expect them to be involved in school. We expect them to be involved in church, be involved in youth activities, and then plus, and those are quite a bit right there. Plus, you can be involved in one more thing. If it's Boy Scouts, you can be involved in Boy Scouts, but you can't do sports after that. Or, you know, and like with my daughter, she was having brownies, or whatever they call it now. Yeah, brownies. And it was Daisy's last year, now it's brownies. She was having brownies. And that's kind of something that doesn't take a whole lot of time. And they meet a couple times a month after school. And then she's doing piano lessons with Suzanne Covey. She was thinking about playing sports, playing soccer, but we won't allow her to play soccer because that's you know, it's kind of school plus the plus one is kind of two halves with the brownies and the other. And so that's kind of what we have adopted. And with sports, if there's the sports, I look at the schedule, and one of the reasons I wanted to become a coach and even the division coordinator, even the commissioners, I have a lot of control over the schedule. You know, we're not going to have any games on Wednesdays and Sundays. We're not going to have any games in the whole league on Sundays as long as I'm the commissioner on Sunday mornings. But I can control the schedule more with that. And I know with Adam, he was in Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts when he was first grade. They met on Wednesday nights. And so we told Adam, well, I guess you won't be able to be involved. He ended up being able to be involved, but on Wednesday nights he didn't go to those things. It's just kind of a rule we've set as a family is, you know, in. They understood it more than me. When I had to tell Adam that we weren't going to be able to go to the Wednesday night things, it killed me. Didn't bother him at all. You know, we just kind of explained to him, you know, we feel like being with our church family is more important and studying the Bible is more important. So that's why, as a family, we've set that up. And I know, I remember Ron Burge years ago said, you know, we got one rule in our family. There's no more decision to be made. When there's church, we all go. That's the decision that was made a long time ago. And so kind of along those lines. And I was hoping Jeff left, but I know, Harvey, you've had your kids involved in sports. And I know with John, I really, you know, John's real involved. He's got football, and he's played basketball, and he runs track. But John is, when there's a youth event, he's rarely not there. And he's a leader. He gets there, and he's, and I appreciate the balance that you guys have instilled in him. You know,
well, I think he's in high school sports, and that typically doesn't eliminate the Sundays. They don't really have too much. I think Little League is a bigger problem to me than what I've seen kids today. I mean,
yeah.
We miss the families all the time around here for athletic events on Sunday mornings. And I'm 100% behind your schedule. That was his tougher part when he was younger. Baseball tournaments that end up on Sunday mornings. Or,
yeah.
And it could be football, Little League, whatever. That's the real struggle. Challenge for parents today is
that. Yeah. So I encourage, especially those who have younger ones, really young, they're just getting involved in sports, really take in mind, you know, what you're getting into and really make some spiritual decisions as the head of your family with that. We could go on talking about it. There's a whole lot we can talk about with that. But I want to thank everybody being here for the quarter. I especially want to thank those you guys who taught. I really enjoyed just participating as a student, I guess. It's something I guess I really enjoyed. I don't get to do very often. Let's have a prayer. And Don Fitz, could you lead?
Lord, we're grateful for the opportunity to discuss these things, and we pray that you'll help us in our desires to be more godly fathers, more godly husbands, and just every role that you give us, Father. We pray that you'll help us to grab hold and trust you for the guidance and the strength that we need. We're grateful for our children, for our spouses, and we want to honor you in all that we do. Please help us to take advantage of times like this when we have classes like this, but also to call on each other at any time when we feel like we need some help in any of these roles that we have. We're grateful for the guidance you give us in your word. Help us to just devour that more and more. Thank you so much for Jesus. For how he makes this all possible. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Did you guys go to breakfast?
Yes.
Was that nice?
It was. It was great.